This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art, history, gossip podcast.
Art, history, gossip podcast.
My name is Chelsea.
I'm Raquel.
And we're going to bring you the tea that goes with your art history.
Tea.
Yes. Well, we just had a birthday recently. Yes.
It was my birthday.
Aquarius, the age of the Aquarius.
I know. Isn't it like over now? I'm not hip to the cool with that. I thought it was last year or something. It ended. No.
No, like this year's like the biggest deal.
Oh.
Because, yeah, like Pluto just came into Aquarius and it's coming out of Capricorn, coming into Aquarius like the day before your birthday, January 20th. And it's like the biggest day in astrology.
Oh my God, I had no idea. But yeah, you know what?
It's like a huge transitional period for everybody.
Well, you know what? It does feel like this is my year. I feel very whole and nourished this year.
Good.
And a lot of that has to do with just making a podcast. This has been so fun.
Oh my gosh, so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being a mom and also just being like an older, well, I think I'm like average age mom now, 35. Older mom? I don't know.
I don't know.
Just being older.
I mean, I guess in comparison to like a teen mom.
Well, I'm finally at this age where like I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. And it's so liberating. And also, I'm also at an age where I like value myself more. Like, you know, like I'm less worried about looks and more about like the important stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, for sure.
But it feels like a really good year. I'm excited. 35 is going to be great. Everybody always asks, how do you feel? And you're like, I feel like, fine. Like, I don't know.
Good, I guess. I mean, I'm a little achy, a little cracky. My knees do crack when I bend over.
I'm very cracky. I'm very achy. But you know what? I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So we had a little birthday party, which was so fun. And I have two friends here that I've made, and making friends when you're in your 30s is so hard.
Oh my God.
I don't know how non-parents do it because we just met them through school. Like
I have work acquaintances, but like we don't hang out. I've tried.
I'm like, well, like,
let's hang out after work. And then it's like, sure, nah.
Because we're older, it's like you just want to, you spent all day with those people. You just want to go home.
Exactly.
I don't mix work with personal anything anymore at all.
That's a good idea. Yeah. It's a good idea. No. Uh-huh. Might as well not.
I mean, it's just like you're forced to be together for 8 hours. That's enough. Like, go be with the people you really care about.
I just want to go home and be with my cat. My cats are my friends right now.
But I mean, I made these two wonderful friends here, and I'm so happy. I didn't think I would be able to make friends, and I was, and it's funny making friends in your 30s because it feels kind of like dating, like, a little bit. Like, so when do I text her? Should we? And me and my husband are like, should we text? Is it too soon? Maybe no. Okay.
Is it too late? Is it too late at night to be like texting somebody? I'm like,
what the fuck are we doing?
It's hard.
Just set something
just
up.
Say, hey, come hang out.
But it's been really lovely. And one of my new friends made me a Baroque Bitches mug, so I can guarantee you how nice this stuff looks on actual merchandise. It looks great. it was really nice time, and I need some milk thistle because I had too much wine. Another year. Cheers to me. Happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday.
I hope you remember to love yourselves exactly as you are right in this very moment. You are enough. just the way you are.
Yeah. And we will get into some body positivity.
Oh, fuck yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. With this artist, as the people that might be seeing this, we are in our wigs. I mean, we are going back to that. We're a little more rococo than baroque.
Is this
but
rococo?
Still, it's fine.
I mean,
yeah, a little more rococo.
Yeah, a little more Marie Antoinette, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like, why the fuck not?
No, I mean, honestly, this, yeah, this wig just spoke to us. Put your wig together.
Look how cool it is. It just keeps going.
No, but my husband, when he saw me come out, Fabi was like, you know, the early bird special's already over. I was like, I know, I just fucking look like B. Arthur or some shit in this thing. Chelsea looks all
like
cute.
It's the look.
One of my curls, like,
you look super cute.
I just look like,
oh yeah, my curls are starting.
Trying to be like an 80s fade. Old lady, but that's okay. 80s old ladies are hot.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, golden girls, that shit.
Thank you for being a friend. Yeah, I'm excited. Oh, yes. I literally know nothing about Rubens, and I didn't do any research. So
good.
Yeah, no, I just know that he paints hot fat people.
Yes.
Yeah,
and we will get into his fat chicks. Yeah, we can say that because we're fat. Yeah. So we
can
say
that. Yeah, and also we're taking it back. The word is,
and
a
it's not
thing.
A bad word.
No, yeah, it's not it's a bad, not bad word. It's like cunt. Cunt is not a bad word anymore.
Be a cunty.
Bitch is
cunty,
not a bad word
fat
anymore.
Energy.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. We're taking it back.
Well, if you're ready to visualize, okay. Pale arm delicately reaches out to the sky for help within a heap of undulating bodies. God's protective eye is hidden behind dark, menacing clouds, and the chaos ensuing between his creations remains unseen. Turbulent violence is inflicted on the innocent, and all one can do is let the demons feed. Surrender to the cradle of decadence, for there is no escaping man's undying desire for victory. And flesh is the ultimate prize. Even man's beasts are shocked by their depravity, but they know death is waiting for them if they retaliate. And what did the innocent do to deserve this torture, besides being cursed with voluptuousness? Are they not pious? Are they not chaste? Yet all the prayers in the world cannot keep them from becoming contaminated by these wicked acts of violation. And this immoral performance is elegantly visualized by graceful brushstrokes and balanced tones. Pastel pinks, bright reds, and soft blues dance around a harmonious composition. And who are we to blame for this heinous act reimagined so effortlessly beautiful? None other than the master of sexualizing fucking everything, Peter Paul Rubens. Which brings us to the title of our gossip topic, Thickness is My Sickness.
Yes.
Okay, a little side note. This was a description of Rubens, the rape of the daughters of Leucippus.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, obviously very horrible, but like one of my favorite paintings, just like undeniably beautiful fucking painting with some very fleshy ladies.
Oh my God.
And the title is also controversial.
Yeah.
Back in the day, this was actually a pickup line that some dude told me in San Francisco. What bar was it?
Oh, we were at the Buccaneer on Polk Street.
Yeah.
The Buccaneer. I used to work right down Polk the street. Yeah. And you were coming to visit me.
Yes. And I was waiting in the bar for Raquel to get off. This dude comes up and starts talking to me. And I'm just like, okay. And then he says, thickness is my sickness. And I'm like, I think I'm going to talk to you a little bit more. So thank you, whoever thank that guy you, is. Guy. I don't remember your name, but I do remember that line.
I remember that too. So. That guy got very, very drunk.
Yeah, I was very drunk too. So
I got off work and I was like, whoa, everybody's wasted.
Vodka Red Bulls. Yeah. It was the drink of choice for, I'm so sorry, liver for.
That was in time.
For doing that. Ugh.
Poor body.
So this is for our thick chick listeners.
Hey, ladies.
This one is for you. Do you hate your cellulite? Well, don't.
Don't.
Because Rubens would have fucking loved it and immortalized it forever.
Listen, we love it too. We love it too. We're here.
Yeah, buy that crop top.
Yeah.
Let that belly hang.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Big belly girls are back.
Slay.
Slay. Yeah, slay.
Okay.
It's hot.
Yes, and of course the term Rubenesque is inspired by Peter Paul Rubens. And basically that's just a thick, voluptuous lady. And just because it's just, you see, look at his work, and it's just thick bitches everywhere, and that's awesome. So we will get into the
thickness
drama.
Thickness was his sickness, yeah.
Thickness was totally his sickness. Okay, so the tea around Rubens focuses more on the crazy people that he dealt with, his dramatic subject matters, and the polarizing critiques of his work.
Oh.
But Rubens himself is a little bit, like, anti-tea.
Okay.
Which is, like, I mean, look at his paintings. Like, what? You don't have any tea in it? So his paintings are super dramatic and sometimes very absurd. So what's this guy's deal?
I mean,
what's his deal?
I don't know. I still like it. My first impression is that I like him. But obviously I love, you know, a body positive hoe. So I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I am too. Yeah.
And you know what? No, if he wasn't tea, I mean, that's fine. He just had a pure heart and he loved thick bitches. That's awesome.
He loved thick bitches. That's about it. But he did have to deal with a lot of people that are covered in
right.
tea. And a lot of people hate his work. Mm. A lot of people love his work. So it's very polarizing, the views on Rubens and his work. Dude made like 1500.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was a
that's a lot for the time. I mean, his work was big too, wasn't it?
Big, huge, intensely.
So I kept telling Fabi, my husband, like, we're doing Peter Paul Rubens, but I kept saying Paul Rubens, and he was like Pee Wee Herman, like, he could not, get past it. He's like, Pee Wee Herman, like, that's his name. I'm like, no, it's a painter, come on.
Baroque. Peter Paul Rubens.
Yeah,
his work's very overwhelming. The undulating bodies thing, like, that's a thing in his work. Some people love it, some people hate it.
You can't please everybody.
Yeah, very, very. You know? Exactly. Yeah, his work's very intense, very Catholic, and very Baroque. So let's get into this deal. Like, what's your deal? So, Sir Peter Paul Rubens was born June 28th, 1577. Okay. So he's a sensitive and creative Cancer.
Oh, the moon child.
Ooh. Yeah. Love me a good Cancer. Mm. And he was born in the now town of Siegen, Germany. So he's our first Flemish painter.
Ooh.
So there might be like a little confusion when it comes to geography here, because the Netherlands have changed a lot since the 16th century with all kinds of different.
I don't know where anything is ever, so.
It's all good. So we'll get into an idea of what the fuck's going on here. So, and we do have to pause and shout out to our many new listeners in Belgium.
Yeah,
right now.
We fucking charted in Belgium. What the fuck?
Yeah, we officially charted in Belgium. Thank you well. I didn't
know.
Oh
my God. Thank you well. Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
Yes, you get us. And yeah, perfect timing for Peter Paul Rubens.
This one's for you.
Love you. Let's go. Okay, so Netherlands drama. Here we go. So during the 16th century, the Netherlands were called the Spanish Netherlands. Oh. ruled by the Spanish branch of the Habsburgs. Uh-huh. The ones that are like fucking each other's cousins and stuff. Right? And getting the incest. Yeah, the incest.
The brother is also the uncle is also the nephew.
Yeah, it's more less of a family tree, more of a family bush. And but they were running shit. And Spanish Netherlands consisted of 17 provinces that would be split on religious lines. So today they would include present day Belgium, Holland, Luxembourg, a little bit of France, a little bit of Germany.
Got it.
So it's kind of a little bit of everything. And Rubens was alive during the 80 Years' War. So
it's a long war.
It's a long war. I won't go too far into it. Yeah. But it's basically a conflict between Dutch rebels and Spanish government, which eventually did result in Dutch independence.
Okay, so, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So during this time, there was a lot of religious tension between Protestants, Calvinists, and Catholic. Yeah. So they're all fighting because
we are the most religious. No, we love Jesus the most.
No, we love Jesus have the most power. So stupid. Okay, so this all leads us to some drama in the Rubens household.
Oh, no.
Daddy, here we go.
Dad, so who's Daddy?
Daddy, who are you? Daddy was Jan Rubens, and he was a lawyer.
Why are so many lawyer dads? Wasn't that fucking mayonnaise dad a lawyer? Or a judge?
Judge. Yeah, everybody's a law. And he was also a council member of Antwerp. He was also a Calvinist sympathizer. So Calvinism is kind of like being a Protestant. So Jan and the fam actually had to flee Antwerp to Cologne to avoid religious persecution.
Oh.
Yeah, so the Reformation was like so not cool in Antwerp. So by the way, what a Reformation is, it's like boo Catholicism, basically. And Dad was all about the Reformation, even though his wife was Catholic. Mom. Let's get into Mom. Maria Pipelinks was a Catholic mother of four. And I guess she was cool with Dad being a Protestant and went along with the move and everything. So Mom's a total team player, and you'll see why she's even more of a team player with Dad's bullshit right here. So, hardcore tea right away with Dad. Yeah, Dad. It's always Dad. Dad was weird and mayonnaise, too.
Like, yeah. It's always one parent or the other. Dad was weird in Egg on Sheila. Dad was weird. In Jackson Pollock. Yeah, dads, you are important. You be there for your kids, dude.
Just chill out.
Don't be an asshole.
So, so this guy's an asshole. So a few years before Peter Paul was born, Dad became the financial and legal advisor and lover of Princess Anna of Saxony, who was married to Prince William I of Orange. Princess. Dad,
he's
don't do that.
Mystified by the royal vagina.
Yes, he definitely gets royally vaginatized. So rumors were swirling about Anna and William, her husband's marriage, being kind of shitty.
Right.
Like, they weren't really happy. And Anna, she was fucking. So Anna is also said to be a bit of a partier too. Mm. She liked to drink. It's sad. She liked to drink and loved the boys. But this could have been like propaganda against her too.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know.
Hard to tell, but rumors are based in truth. So it's probably a little bit true.
So Anna and Ruben's dad, Jan, spent a lot of time together, since he was doing a lot of work for her, and one thing led to another.
And then before you knew it, my dick fell into her vagina. I don't know how it happened. It's not my fault.
I just tripped. Adultery was speculated in the court and in the town because of how much time they spent together. They weren't that discreet.
Be clean about it. Jesus.
Dude, you're fucking a princess. You gotta chill. You're dealing with royalty, so they were both arrested, interrogated, and confessed to the affair. So Yeah, and unfortunately, okay, Anna gets a really bad rap here. So unfortunately, Anna did have a child during the time of the affair. Oh. So not knowing who the father was, William, her husband, did not accept her child as his own. And poor Anna died while serving time in prison for adultery.
Oh, no.
I know. Like, she died in jail probably because it was, like, bad conditions or something. And the plague's going around still, too.
I mean, it's, like, hard to stay alive during that time, right?
It was definitely
hard to stay alive. Like, we learned in Caravaggio, it's, like, the average age is, like, 34 or something. So she almost made it.
She almost made it. Yeah, she's only 32. Total bummer. And dad was also in prison and faced a possible execution.
Yeah.
And Maria, his wife, supported him.
No.
This situation. Writing to him in jail. So, like, mom.
No.
So, yeah. So he was released from jail after paying a hefty bail. And a few years later, like, him and his wife are still fucking, and Peter Paul Rubens was born. Mm. And a few years after that, dad died.
Okay.
So probably from the plague. We're not really totally sure.
Or from syphilis or some other thing.
Or from something weird. Yeah, just some cold fucking my feet hurt.
A cool draft.
I got a little cut
people's
over here.
Immune systems were just not up to par.
Yeah. So after daddy died, the Rubens family returned to Antwerp because mom was fucking Catholic anyway.
Out of
here.
So
she's like, can we go back home? I'm done with this.
Yeah,
and that was the cool religion there. And Peter Paul was raised as a Catholic and totally vibed with that.
Cool.
And yeah, later on, he would actually. It totally works for some people, especially Ruben. So later on, he would actually be a leading voice in the Catholic counter reformation. So, like, not boo Catholic, yay Catholic.
Right.
It's what the counter reformation's vibe is like.
Right, right.
Okay, so now Rubens is chilling in Antwerp and he's studying Latin, classical literature, like Renaissance-y stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the time where the Renaissance is big time and classical education is back. So back from the Dark Ages where you only study the Bible. Now we care about humanism and stuff. Who are we outside of God? You know, people are getting a little smarter. People are getting smarter.
Yeah.
And this kid was actually super fucking smart and good at school. And continued to be an academic scholar all of his life.
Wow.
So, like, have we had a guy like this?
No. All of ours are like, oh, he was good at gym and, like, art.
Yeah, he liked recess.
He liked recess.
He hated school. No, he loved school. And he learned 5 languages, his favorite language being Italian.
Oh. So
was foreshadowing, a little bit of foreshadowing.
Dai, dimmi.
A little bit of foreshadowing. Yeah. So,
vaffanculo. Pasta. Ciao.
Pasta. Stop. Sorry, any Italian listener. So when Rubens was 13, he got a job as a court page to a countess. And a page is like a personal assistant.
Mm-hmm.
But he fucking didn't like it at all and wanted to do something different altogether. So not much is actually written about what inspired Rubens to paint. But he did start a painting apprenticeship a year later with Tobias Verhaecht, who was a mannerist painter who painted primarily landscapes.
Mm.
And mannerism is like a high Renaissance-y style of painting, and it emphasizes balance, idealized beauty, and symmetry. So he's painting. Rubens also studied under Adam van Noort and Otto van Veen. And they both kind of painted Bible stuff. So they were Catholics.
I mean, it was definitely like a thing at the time. Mostly all things were Bible-y.
Everything's pretty Bible-y.
Or like Old Testament or
mythology.
Mythology. That's right. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, if you're going either for antiquity, classical mythology, or you're going for Jesus dying. There is definitely some portraiture going on with some commissions, and there's landscape art as well.
Got it.
But the big time thing right now with the Catholics is seeing Jesus dying. You got to see Jesus dying. They love it. Eat that shit up. They love that stuff. So Rubens was said to be extremely charming, likable, and was a gentleman with excellent manners. So,
So people just like love him.
People love him. Yeah, he's said to have some kind of aura about him. Like he just knew how to talk to people. He knew how to get people to trust him. He was very sure of himself.
Oh.
And he's kind of cute. Yeah, he's kind of a cute guy. Yeah, and he was also very involved in the church. He was also very, very religious. And he would rub shoulders with some fancy people in church. So church is kind of where you would network. And I think that still applies today in some capacity in some areas. I know Ohio maybe a little bit more than Los Angeles.
I don't know because I'm not a churchgoer.
Not in there.
But I feel like maybe in like the southern states, there's like a status thing that happens and like hierarchy.
You could get a job. Yeah. Or like, you know, hey, my son.
And East Coast, it seems like there's like money and like things with like
possibilities for like business
donating and like like if you watch The Wire
so this is really where you can network and meet people. And yeah, and he was able to meet some people that he would commission artwork for. So and he was so charismatic and so charming that basically anybody would hire this guy.
Wow. Like
everybody just was into him. Everybody just had nothing bad to say about this kid. So he was painting at the same time. So Rubens painted one of his earliest known paintings, Portrait of a Young Man, from 1597. So he's a super cute little ginger holding a watch and a protractor kind of thing. And he was possibly like an architect or draftsman or something. And it was so good that he was able to finish his education, and it landed him a spot at the Guild of St. Luke as an independent artist.
Dude, this guy looks a little cheeky and like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's
some sexiness to it a little bit.
Dude, he kind of sexualizes everything. So, I know, and it's like, you're supposed to be super fucking Catholic.
Yeah, but you know they all have boners beneath their robes. Like, come on.
Why is Jesus so hot?
Why is he hot in all these paintings?
Why is he hot? I don't know. He looks hot in that cross. I always kind of thought he was kind of hot. He's kind of built. But, Guild of St. Luke. So St. Luke is the patron saint of artists, by the way, so he's cool. So a guild is like an artisan association, and it helps artists with business. As a guild member, mm-hmm. you have to take on apprentices, so you basically have to teach and sell paintings in the city. And all the members in the guild will like help each other out with business.
Projections, third quarter. Corporate needs the
circle back. Let's circle back to that.
Do you have a businesswoman special?
Do you have a business
like a special for businesswomen?
For businesswomen. So that's what he's doing. He's doing business. And in 1600s, Rubens took his self-discovery trip to Italy. Any 20-something artist is pretty much required to go to get all inspired.
Yeah.
And there's no pictures. They will have like etchings and stuff of Titian and Raphael, but they didn't really have
cameras.
The photographs of the paintings.
Right.
So they didn't really know exactly what the paintings looks like. So they have to travel.
Right. Yeah, there's no Instagram. There's no Facebook.
Exactly.
You have to go.
Yeah. Well, there are reproductions, but you gotta see the real thing. So a lot of people are duplicating these guys and bringing them back to their town. Mm-hmm. But you do have to see the real thing to really get an idea and learn from these guys. So
you don't want the cake-tail version of the original. Like, you want to go see it in person. Yeah.
Exactly. So this kid is so good and connected that people have, like, already been talking about how good he is.
Damn.
From this. Yeah, of, like, how good this kid from Antwerp is. And he was quickly appointed to the court of Vincenzo Gonzaga, the Duke of Mantua. So this is a big fucking deal for Rubens right now. So he's kind of like, this kind of his big break. Like, he kind of made
the
it already.
Big as break.
Like, yeah, as like an early 20s kid.
Dude.
So he's like, cool, I'm down. Thanks, I'm down to like be your court painter for a while.
That's awesome.
So BT Dubs, Mantua is in northern Italy in between Venice and Milan. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like in a good spot. And we got to get into some side tea on this Vincenzo, dude. Because he's drama and a half. So Vincenzo's drama.
Dude.
So Vincenzo, like a little earlier on, Vincenzo freaking murdered this other dude.
What?
James. Yeah, he murdered a guy and like got away with it. Totally got away with it. James Crichton, who was this like super gifted Scottish prodigy scholar dude and overall smarty pants guy. And he like finished his master's degree at 14, this Scottish kid. And he joined the court to supposedly tutor Vincenzo and just do other smarty pants stuff for the court. So Vincenzo was super jealous of this dude because his daddy had like a huge boner for him for being so academically amazing. And Vincenzo was like not amazing in academics. And he hated him because he kind of stole his mistress.
Oh my God. This guy's just like fucking his shit up. He's just like,
shut up.
Listen, your daddy loves me, and also your girlfriend loves me.
I'm smarter than you. Your daddy loves me more than you. And
my dick's better.
So Vincenzo was like, fuck that, and set out to kill him with a group of other shitty dudes in the streets. So they attacked James, and supposedly when James realized that the attackers were led by Vincenzo, James dropped to his knees, surrendered his sword. Everybody's carrying swords. And Vincenzo.
The 16th century was fucking nuts.
Yeah. Vincenzo took his sword, stabbed him in the heart. So killing him instantly.
That's like so fucking crazy.
Dude, yeah. And this kid was only 22.
Oh.
I know.
Vincenzo, I know. What the fuck, man? And stabbing him in the heart with your sword. Like, that's just like. Have you ever cut, like, chicken, you know?
I can't imagine how to, like, that'd be a lot of force, man.
That'd just be so difficult to kill a man. I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
I don't think I could do it. Well, it depends.
I mean, if in a fight or flight situation, I'm a flyer. I would run.
I don't know. I probably will just shit my pants, but I might lean into violence. I don't know. Really feeling it.
I haven't really been in a position where, like, you know, my dad likes somebody more and that person's also fucking my girlfriend and also is smarter than me and cooler than me. So.
I think I would think it in my mind a lot.
I think it would take a lot more than just that for me to get to that point. But
yes, yeah, I would be like very pissed off, but I don't think I could stab a guy after that. So we can see how hot-headed Vincenzo was. However, I guess he's kind of cool because he was a huge patron of the arts and wanted Mantua to be like the cool cultural center of Italy.
Right.
But he was maybe too much of a patron and had some pretty bad spending habits.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll have to throw in a picture of him because he's got threads. He's fashion.
Wow.
He's eating. And
fashion.
He kind of fashion. And kind of ended up sending Mantua into an economic decline. And, oh, yeah, Andy married his first cousin and had 6 kids with her on top of 4 illegitimate kids from another mistress. So Vincenzo's wildin'.
Drama, Vincenzo.
Vincenzo's.
Vinny.
Vin.
Ma perché, Vinny? Why'd you do it? Oh, no.
So through Vincenzo's funding, Rubens is able to travel all over Europe. So Spain, Rome, and he's doing duplications of Titian, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Caravaggio, Tintoretto, and Veronese. On top of studying the classical dudes too, he particularly loved Titian. So Titian is definitely like the king of Italian painters.
Yeah, everybody shits over Titian.
Titian.
It's just a cool name, Titian. It's fun to say.
Yeah, and his paintings are super vibrant colors and lots of drama, very Baroque. And he's doing commissions. He's experimenting all the things a young painting master would be doing. He's a little Dora the Explorer. So fun painting that he did during this time, The Fall of Phaethon. And this is where we start seeing his signature crowded composition. With all the bodies like on top of each other becoming one shape, it feels like they're kind of tangled and fighting for air. I just had a side note on this one because every time I see a Rubens, it reminds me of like a show or something. Like when we went to the Gorgo Bodello show in Golden Gate Park. Remember that? And you just like become one with the crowd, and it's so anxiety.
Oh my God, it's like insane.
Like you almost passed out. You had to get carried from somebody. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know where I went.
That was the craziest show. It was just a sea of like 300 people. Not exactly moshing, but not exactly not moshing. It was mostly just like everybody's like swaying together and like a friendly mosh pit.
It's like friendly, but still I can't breathe.
It was very hot and sweaty and lots of sexy people.
Yeah, I was very sweaty and it was definitely like, okay. And I'm a little bit like, I'm not a touchy person. So like when I'm right skin contact with strangers, I am a little bit like, yep, I'm on somebody's skin right now. And I don't know what their skin is about. Like, I don't know what you got going on. I don't think it matters like
whether or not you're a hugger or not when you're in a sea of like fucking that many people.
And then you kind of look around and you don't know anybody that's around you. Yeah. Of like, that's how these paintings feel sometimes. Like, and it's very complex and it's very overwhelming. And that is one of his criticisms too, is that his paintings are very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And we will get into his criticisms later because there's some good ones. So a little bit about the background of this. It is the Fall of Phaethon is a common ancient Greek story. And I did want to tell it like the short version just because it's funny. It has been recreated a bunch of times in art history. So I'll fill you in. So Phaethon asked his dad, Helios, to take the chariot out for a little joyride. And dad really isn't. Helios is not into it and warns him that it's dangerous. But Phaethon is like, you don't even know me, dad. I'm not a kid anymore.
Dad, you're so lame. Just let me live my life. Come on. Give me your chariot.
And he takes it anyway. Give me your chariot. And by the way, Helios' chariot does control Earth's temperatures. Oh, and driving it too close to Earth can make it too hot. And driving it too far can make it too cold. So I think we know what's going on. He ends up losing control of the horses. And the chariot ends up fucking with Earth's temperature. So Earth complains to Zeus. And Zeus is like, oh, immediately done. Fuck that. And strikes Phaethon with lightning, instantly killing him. Oh. And this story is often told to explain Earth's super hot temperatures, like in the desert, and the super cold temperatures, like in the Arctic. So it's fucking Phaethon's fault for fucking with Helios's chariot. Fuck you, Phaethon. Dick and dick. So, of course, Rubens' depiction is the part where Zeus strikes Phaethon down. So he wants the drama. A lot of the depictions will be, like, after Phaethon dies, where he is, like, he's dead.
Right.
Or, like, before, where he's driving the chariot around. So Rubens really wants this drama. And it's also, like, very Catholic. Like they like the drama.
They want the
part where the death is happening.
Yeah.
We want it to be happening then. So yeah, I just thought that was a fun little tidbit. So Rubens ends up Rubens travels so fucking much. So if I don't get all of the timeline right of where he's going when, my bad.
It's okay.
But you get the idea that he's traveling all over Europe like all God, throughout so
worldly.
So I know, like, must be nice. So Rubens traveled to Spain to, and this is during the 80 Years' War, too. So this is like
the enemy,
kind
right?
of intense. Yeah, totally. So this is a little intense for him. So he does travel to Spain to visit Philip III to give him some paintings as gifts on behalf of the Italian court. Because remember, he's still dealing with Vincenzo. Right. And Vincenzo wants to get some kind of connection with Spain. So he wants to present him with some paintings. And this was his first real, like, diplomat-y type of thing that he did. So very rarely did the artist himself get sent to present his right. work. Just because artists tend to be, like,
well, messy. And I thought they're like, people value art, but they don't really value the artist at this point. It's like, you're a tradesman. But this guy is such a smooth talker.
This guy is fucking special. So, yeah, because artists tend to be, like, too messy and problematic to be actually leverage for political relationships, but not Rubens, man. He's just so fucking charming. So unfortunately, the work that he made for Philip was damaged during the journey. So Rubens being Rubens was like, no, I'm not, I gotta give this guy something. So he painted the equestrian portrait of the Duke of Lerma for the Spanish court. And this painting landed him the favor of the Spanish court. So basically, the Netherlands loves him, Italy loves him, and now Spain loves him. So this guy, everyone fucking loves this guy, even before they see his paintings. And this is all during this fucking war. He just vibes
damn.
So hard. He just vibes this guy.
Never known a Cancer to be, like, so gregarious. That's so interesting.
He's just, like, very trustworthy, you right. know? So after his trip to Spain, he goes back to Rome because he really loved Italy. Like, he loved Italy because that's where all the big artists were. Well, yeah,
that was like the art hotspot.
That's the place, especially Rome, with his love of, like, classical antiquity.
Right. And I think, like, at the time, like, the timeline's probably not well documented either, because I ran into this with Caravaggio where it's like, yeah, these people aren't, like, royalty. Like, they're not chronicled after in super detail. Like, I mean, people have definitely pieced it together, but it's fucking, like, what, like, 500 years ago?
Yeah. So it's like, okay, he might, like, sometime during this year, he went over there. Like, yeah, exactly. So I am giving the short version because he did travel a lot. So I am giving you, like, just the
big dude, just stick travels. To the good stuff. You got it.
So I did want to get a little more into this dude's personality and lifestyle because he is so fucking special. There's just something about him. So he was said by his apprentices to wake up at 4 a.m. to work. Ugh. He didn't drink or party much, and he was always reading, but he did make sure to spend time with friends. He's just like, fucking very nerd. Consistent. Yeah, he's super fucking consistent. Why can't I do that?
Yeah, God.
Oh my God.
Dedicated.
He's super dedicated, very consistent, and he's a hardcore philosopher. And considered himself a neo-stoicist, which is kind of tying moral virtues of antiquity and Christianity. So a stoic was something that was, you know, back in the day in antiquity, in classical antiquity, the Greek guys, and they were all about just, like, modesty and virtue. And that modesty and virtue are the only really good things in life. And it's a little bit about the idea, they kind of touch on the idea of fate too. I think maybe just because he got, like, so lucky when it comes to being such an overwhelmingly successful artist. So there's a fun quote by the ancient poet Agathon: art is in love with luck and luck with art. So aww, I thought I'd throw that in there. Rubens was also an art collector since he was making so much fucking cash during this time. Damn. So he's like, why not? I might as well buy some of the stuff that I like. So he collected ancient sculptures, coins, and other weird little ancient relics and little knickknacks and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just because he loved the classic dude so much. And in 1608, unfortunately, Rubens got the news of his mother's illness.
Oh, no.
And I know, mommy. And he left Rome. She was like 70. So he left Rome to visit her in Antwerp, but he was too late. So his mother passed away and is said to have suffered from asthma. And her death might have been kind of like a respiratory infection or something. They didn't have the thing. They didn't have the inhaler.
An inhaler.
Yeah, they didn't have the inhaler thing back then. So I think it was some sort of respiratory failure. But he did end up going to Antwerp anyway to like do the funeral and stuff. And he did face a dilemma of, do I leave the Netherlands and go back to Rome, or do I stay here and like make this place cool, like make my hometown cool?
Right.
So he did choose to stay and became the court painter for the Archduke Albert. So that's like the guy in right. Antwerp. And there he met Isabella Brunt when he was 32 and she was 18.
Ew.
And like, dude, ew, way later on. But like, so this was okay compared to what happens later. So he loved her. And check out one of the most honestly loving wedding portraits of all time, the honeysuckle bower. A honeysuckle tree is like a symbol of love, loyalty, and happiness. And you see Rubens and his new wife depicted as fancy courtiers. So he's definitely showing off his success in love and in his career. And he's just like very sure of himself. And this is, it's very rare to have, I mean, a lot of artists would paint their wives, but it is kind of rare to have a double portrait of artist and his wife. So this was definitely like something a little bit different. There's a couple out there, but this was a little bit different.
Hat is so funny. Her hat.
Like just, like, bam, wow.
Like, right? What is that? It's like pilgrim meets explorer. Meets cowboy.
Yeah, that was like the counter-reformation style during the time. So very fancy. You have the ruffly collars.
So many things are happening in this outfit.
So many. I can't imagine all the layers.
Must have been very hot and itchy.
Very hot. Lots of jewels. But you can see that they're rich people, which is also different for an artist to be depicted as somebody that's wealthy like this. You can see Rubens using Isabella as a model in many of his paintings. You can check out Adoration Before the Christ Child. Mary looks a little familiar there. So this could bring us to the thickness topic. Okay, there's a fucking lot on this.
Good.
And people are really fucking obsessed and confused, and they're just obsessed with fat chicks. Dude, it's crazy. So many arguments on this. So some say Rubens is idealizing thick women and thought they were beautiful, and some say Rubens was doing caricatures of thick women and using them for satire, which I don't think so at all. First of all, Isabella is not fat at all. She was just maybe like a little rounder than the women found in Rubens' inspirations, like Titian's and Raphael's ladies. So we're talking Baroque times. There is a couple of things. Like the plague was a big deal during this time. And health was associated with like a healthy appetite. Another thing was the showing of wealth, of course, during this tumultuous economic time. Food was hard to come by. So having a little extra on you was a sign of wealth. Rubens did believe that physical weakness could lead to spiritual weakness. And maybe making these women fucking stacked was a sign of spiritual piety. There is a great fucking Rubens quote. I paint a woman's big rounded buttocks so that I want to reach out and stroke the dimpled flesh. So, like, I'm pretty sure he liked big butts and cannot.
No, it's like you can try to explain this with your like wealth or like healthiness or whatever, but it's like, no, people just fucking like what they like. There's somebody for everybody.
Yeah, it's super hot. I think all these babes are gorgeous. And fleshy.
Yeah. You wanted something to grab onto.
Yeah. I didn't like that song. So, of course, not everybody likes this.
People are so
might as well. I know, yeah, people don't like this. So might as well get into Ruben's critiques before you fall deeper in love with this guy. So here's a good one. I was never so disgusted in my life as with Rubens and his eternal wives and internal colors.
What?
So that was by Lord Byron.
Oh, God. Lord Byron. Get out of here. You're gross. Boring.
I know. Like, didn't he, like, try to buy a 12-year-old or something?
You're boring. You're so boring.
Yeah, so a couple of, like, British dudes really don't like them. So check out this other British poet. To my eye, Ruben's coloring is most contemptible. His shadows are filthy brown, somewhat the color of excrement.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was like William
basically
Blake.
Just calling his portraits poop. Poop portrait. Poop.
Exactly.
What a dick.
Get the fuck out of here, William Blake. Here's another one. He's gifted, but he used his gifts to make nasty things.
Okay, listen.
Guess who fucking that was by? That was from fucking Picasso.
What the fuck?
Get the fuck out of here. Pablo.
Really? Get out of here. Fuck that guy. So hard.
Even though Delacroix called Rubens the king of painters. So, like, well, there's
people do, like, get, like, oddly mad about fat really chicks. Like, and listen, guys, everybody deserves to take up exactly as much amount of space as they need to. And, like, fuck you for ever putting somebody else down. It's 2024. We do not comment on other people's bodies. Period.
And what makes you so fucking perfect? Rubens is for you. He thought they were hot. I think they're hot. There's a lot of people that think they're hot. And so you can leave the other ones.
Skip this episode. Go to the next one. Bye.
Yeah. So you can see how polarizing Rubens' critics can be. I certainly love him, though. So
I don't understand why being fat is so controversial. Like, it's just like,
it like still
it
is.
It still too. Is. People get so mad about fat people. Like, I see on like Tess Holliday, like, she's a super fucking hot plus size model. And I see like comments that are still commenting about her lifestyle and her body and everything. And it's like, you all need to let it go and just focus on your own self.
Totally. Yeah.
Drop it.
Like, somehow now. Oh my God. So, yeah, it's for years and years and years, we still have the same fucking argument. Like, no, I hate them. They're hideous. And no, actually, they're really fucking hot.
Like, who cares?
And they're like, well, why don't you just, it's fine. It's like, and like, if everyone just, especially men, just dived a little bit deeper, they would know that they fucking like fat chicks too. So, before we go into the rest of his life, humor me and check out one of my favorites, The Fall of the Damned.
Oh, yeah, this one.
Was that so good? Which depicts Satan's army falling to hell after being defeated by the Archangel Michael. So, this one is horror. This is Revelations. How Catholic can you get? So, we got Ruben's signature mass. It's so fucking gnarly, dude. Ugh. It's a signature mass of undulating bodies falling to hell. And it was seen as so controversially horrific that in 1959, the shitty, unpublished so-called philosopher Walter Menzies threw acid on it. But it was painstakingly restored to its original beauty. It's just weird that like such a nice gentleman would paint such a gnarly, gory scene. Like, what are you hiding?
What,
like, what's under the politeness, dude? It's time to say where his mind is. Yeah, there's definitely something there of like, this is so crazy. I love this painting, but it is horrific. Yes, super gnarly. There's so many gnarly paintings that I could not fit everything into it, but we can get back to his life. So he's chilling in Antwerp, and the Archduke Albert commissions him to paint some altarpieces, and these altarpieces really mark Rubens as one of the greatest religious painters of all time. So we got these two altarpieces. We got Raising of the Cross and Descent of the Cross. So we can really feel the action and violence in the first, and the more mournful movement in the second. So you can kind of see the energy of the raising of the cross. Obviously, this is depicting Jesus getting raised to the cross to be crucified. And it's really like intense and dramatic. And you can kind of feel the tension and like, oh my God, no, please no. Yeah. And then the descent of the cross is really like melancholy and a little slower of like, how the fuck does he make this move like this? Like it's not a movie. Like, how does he make a move like
this? It really is evocative. See? Like it makes you feel some stuff for sure.
Yeah. It's like a totally different vibe than the first one, but it's a similar,
Composition. Composition. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay, a couple hours later. Ugh. And yeah, and you can also see his knowledge of classical antiquity in his male figures. So we got some Michelangelo style juice head gorillas here. So everybody's pretty built.
Yeah, there's some like rugged hot dudes.
Yeah. So he's definitely looking at these Italians, like at the Italian idealized beauty in the male figure. Right. So juice heads. Yeah. They're stacked. So this guy is painting and painting and getting so many commissions that he complained that he was the busiest and most harassed man in the world.
Okay.
So I know.
So now he's getting testy about it.
Yeah, it's most harassed man in the world. So in order to fulfill all of these commissions, he started his own studio, which looked more like a Rubens factory. So with the help of up to 100 apprentices at a time, he was able to have his apprentices accomplish the 1,500 known Rubens paintings that we love today. And those are just the ones that we know of. If you are go into your attic and you see some undulating bodies, please let us know first.
Yeah, no, we'll help you.
Just DM us. Yeah, we'll take it off your hands. So he would make a sketch, give it to his artist to paint, and make the finishing touches on the painting. So it was kind of like a fucking assembly line of paintings. And that's how he was able to make all these paintings.
That makes more sense, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll see it in museums too. So each painting is described as a Rubens, like from Peter Paul Rubens, or Rubens and so-and-so. Right. So, of course, the Rubens paintings that he did all by himself would sell for more. And then the ones, of course, the other ones are really great too, because he taught all of these apprentices.
He's not going to put his name on something that's not, you know, up to par.
Yes, which some artists do sometimes, but he was definitely like making sure, listen, I'm going to sign it, but I'm going to make sure that people know that so-and-so Van Dyck or something would also did it.
That's cool.
And then he would give the apprentices some recognition as well. So in 1622, he was summoned to Paris by Queen Maria de Medici. So she was the Queen of Paris at the time. Queen of France at the time. She wanted a huge 24-piece commission based on her life story. Like, it's super weird. So she basically chose Rubens because she's like, I know this guy can make some pretty mundane shit fucking dramatic.
Yeah.
Because it's like, who are you? Like, I mean, yeah, you're the Queen of France, but still.
Not
like,
a lot happened to you.
What are you doing? Yeah. Like, and so Rubens had to make these mundane activities dramatic. So check out The Education of Maria de Medici. Like, the queen is in school, and she's being taught by Greek gods. So it's kind of funny. And he miraculously spends only 3 years completing these huge paintings. It was said to be like, oh, this is going to be like a 10-year stay.
There's like hot naked chicks.
She's one of the hot naked chicks. And she's getting taught by like Zeus and shit. Apollo or
this
whatever.
This is the coolest. And, I mean, yeah, he's definitely making it like look like the coolest story ever. She's like reading a book and there's like a bunch of giant hot ladies and like a god and like, yeah, it's dope. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he would make things like, oh, like when her husband saw her for the first time, he like, oh, and it's like, no, it was a political agreement.
He like, had to.
It's probably not a love thing. Yeah, totally. So Rubens was just making shit up and making it real dramatic. And he did spend only 3 years completing these huge paintings, and then he headed back to Antwerp, and unfortunately in 1626, his wife Isabella dies of the plague after leaving him three kids. Ugh. So this was very hard on him, and he's quoted, this is kind of a weird quote too, like it's a little cringy, so... Truly, I have lost an excellent companion whom one could love, indeed had to love, with good reason, as having none of the faults of her sex. She has no capricious moods and no feminine weakness, but was all goodness and honesty.
Okay, fuck Peter Paul Rubens. Wait, hold the phone.
I know, this is where, yeah.
It's like anti-women, almost.
Yeah, so there has been some critiques on of like, okay, no, he loves women, and it's like, well, maybe he loves very chaste women,
right?
And kind of put down
sit
anyone
in your
that
corner,
he didn't
don't have any feelings and don't have a voice.
Don't have capricious moods.
Okay, fuck you, dude.
I know.
Oh my god.
I know. So yeah, some say that he might have been a little bit of misogynist, but he was like this like stoic religion too. So it
yeah,
or,
I mean, it also
too.
Is like. Fucking what 16 whatever at this
yeah,
point
yeah
so like,
it's the 1620s
you know yeah, it, so. We love and hate all these artists is what we're discovering, like they all have
exactly
good things and they all have asshole things, so
yeah, so she was very honest and she didn't have the faults of her sex, like
okay.
And you kind of think too, like maybe all of the drama with dad and maybe some bullshit that was being said about not dad and being said about Anna of Saxony.
Right.
Of like, oh yeah, no, it's the lady's fault because she tempted him or something like that, you know? Of like,
totally, totally.
Okay.
That's her fault. He couldn't keep his chickens.
Yeah, but he was really bummed out. So after this, Rubens wanted to get away. So this dude travels again.
Like, all right, bye, kids. Raise yourselves.
Bye. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So he travels to England and gets fucking knighted.
he just gets knighted
from King Charles.
Everybody just fucking loves this guy.
And ends up selling his antique collection to the Duke of Buckingham for like a fuck ton of money.
Dude.
So now England loves this fucking guy too.
Everybody loves this guy.
Everybody loves him during this time. Seriously.
He's like Princess Diana.
Yeah. No, he is like, people do call him the Prince of Painters, or the Painter of Princes and the Prince of Painters. Oh. Yeah. So he returns to Antwerp, moves to the country, because now he's like, okay, I'm just going to like settle down a little bit. And he's still pretty sad and he wants a new companion. So he meets and marries Helena Forment, who is the daughter of a wealthy tapestry merchant. Okay. So finally some good Rubens tea. So she was fucking 16.
No.
And he was 53.
Ew.
Okay. I guess everyone's fine with that. Blah. So another cringy quote from Rubens.
No. Okay.
Yeah. May he who has lived through 5 decades receive what buds now into first blossom in you. He will grow young again in your arms, maid.
Ew. Yum, yum, yum.
Okay.
Oh my god, this guy's so gross. Oh my god. Yuck.
Of like he's so loved, but then he has these cringe moments with his women. Okay. So they were married for 5 years and they had 5 kids.
5 kids in 5 years? Holy fucking.
She's popping them out. Boom, boom, boom. Pop it.
Well, she is only 16, so.
Jesus. Towards the end of Ruben's life, he painted many beautiful landscapes. He's getting real pastoral and like romanticizing country life. Some historians do say that these paintings are his greatest accomplishment. Mm-hmm. So you can check out the rainbow landscape. Oh, it's the simple life. Yes, simple from a very wealthy man's point of view. So it is very pretty. It is very pretty. And he learned a lot from the classical guys, the Italian guys, about the foreground, midground, background, different colors that you would use, Nero Scuro type of shit. So very pretty. So anyway, gorgeous. He did.
Gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. His landscapes, a lot of times people are like,
wow.
Yeah. Sometimes people are definitely like, fuck the Jesus stuff. Like, we got to look at his landscapes. They're so good. And I think, too, it's these aren't done in a factory, in his factory. Like, these aren't done by, he didn't have anybody helping him out. These were just his, like, fun paintings, you know?
God, they're breathtaking.
Yeah.
They really are. It's like Thomas Kincaid.
Yeah.
Boy, it's, it's his like Kincaid
days. Yeah. Of like, I just want something nice.
I just want to make it beautiful.
Jesus dying anymore.
I mean, God, okay, Thomas Kincaid, like, ugh, maybe he could be in a pod, but those paintings are beautiful. Like, you do want to be in them, sort of.
Oh, totally. I want to be in the country.
In a cottage that's like beautifully kind of purpley and like, ugh, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Live in there. With
be
there. People.
I want to be a like garden gnome. Garden fairy. Garden.
So yeah. So he's painting a bunch of landscapes, and he did suffer from gout for a few years. So
the rich man's disease.
It is called the disease of kings, since it is usually brought up with too much fatty foods, and it is a form of arthritis, and it happens with like too much uric acid crystallizes and gets deposited in the joints. Yeah. So that's basically what gout is. It's super fucking painful. Mm-hmm. You usually don't die from gout itself, but gone untreated, you can die from like heart or digestive issues. So we can see where this is going. So May 30th, 1640, Rubens dies from heart failure. And a burial chapel was built at St. James Church in Antwerp for him and his family. He is known to be one of the greatest Flemish painters of all time and continues to be greatly admired all over the world.
Oh my God.
He would inspire many of our favorite artists, including Delacroix, Van Dyck, Cézanne, and Jenny Saville.
Oh, yeah. So, I love her. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Love her. She likes fat chicks
fucking
too.
I love Jenny Saville. Yeah, she does like fat chicks.
So you can check out, I like this. These ones I really like from Cézanne, his bathers paintings. Mm. You can check out Three Bathers by Cézanne. Yeah. So Cézanne definitely liked him thick too.
Yeah, I know. Big booties.
Yeah.
Picasso's and chicks look thick like, too in the way he does them. So.
Picasso's tripping.
Fucking
Pablo.
Pablo.
Pablo, relax.
Get it together.
Pablo.
Come on.
Okay, guy at the party.
Who is he? Who is he? Who is he?
So this one, I felt like there's a lot of similarities here. Samuel L. Jackson. So really? He is, dude, this is the highest grossing actor of all time.
Really?
He is known to be one of the, all of his movies make so much money.
I thought it was, billions. I always thought it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He's probably pretty high grossing too, but Samuel L. Jackson has been working forever and is one of the hardest working people in Hollywood, has a huge portfolio of films, known to be very charismatic, but he also starred in some very dark films as well. So he does have this like weird little dark side, but total family man. Him and his wife have been married for 43 years.
Wow.
His wife, LaTanya, have been married for 43 fucking years.
I do like him, for sure.
Yeah, I like him too because he's in all the Rob Zombie movies. But he has been sober too, so he's like a sober dude too. He did party in the beginning. Yeah. Like, he partied. But then
that's everybody's story now, though.
Yeah, and I just felt like, I'm like, okay, how many other similarities? Does he love his wife? And it's like, oh my God, what other guy in Hollywood has been married for 40 years?
Not that many. No.
I feel like...
Oh, you know who 007, what's his name?
Oh, yeah. Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his wife, thicked up, and he's been like, she's the most.
And he was like,
he's like, yeah, no.
Everyone really likes to talk about her, too.
I know. And it's like, dude, she's fine. So hot.
I'm on the beach.
And then Adriana Lima, she was like the Victoria's Secret model of our era. People love to talk about her, too. It's like,
Settle down.
Yeah. What are you doing?
It's fine.
Quit it.
And sometimes it's like, oh, you're getting fatter. Are you sad? And it's like, no, I'm actually like kind of happy.
Well, I think it's just like at the end of the day, we're all heading towards the same destination of dying. No matter if you are fat or not, everybody's going to end up in the same situation. So just like let people... Don't
eat bread.
Just let them be there. Treat not people not how you want to be treated. People treat people how they want to be treated. Treat people how they want to be treated. And just like love on each other.
And I don't know. And I think kind of Ruben's Duke of Mantua is like to Samuel L. Jackson's Spike Lee. He like made it. Yeah, he found a guy to make him mate. Because he was in a bunch of stuff before he met Spike Lee. And like Quentin Tarantino and all the things. But like, and then like once he met his guy, then it's like, cool, you got me. I got you.
We're each other's guys. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I love him.
Yeah,
I just watched he's in Pulp everything. Fiction. Love that movie.
He's in everything, and just like how Rubens is in everything.
Yeah.
He's fucking everywhere.
I get it. You're so good at this. Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. It's good stuff.
All righty. Well, that was Rubens.
Good one.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you liked it. It was kind of a weird, because I love Rubens and I've always loved Rubens' paintings. And I kind of assumed he was crazy, you know, from his paintings. If you've ever seen like a Rubens painting, you'd be like, wow, this guy's fucked up. But it's like, oh, he's really nice. He's a nice guy. He's got some weird stuff with the ladies with the 5316 situation. But
he was a pedophile,
He was a pedophile, but he's very charismatic, very friendly.
But a beloved one.
Fucking loved him. Loved him, this guy.
I mean, I did, but now the 16, I can't with the dudes with the young chicks. Like, no.
Yeah. I don't care if it's a 1600s. Mm-mm. You can't be fucking a kid. No, okay. It's too young.
If we learned anything in Aegon Sheila, it's just like, no.
And that weird quote of like, kind of like she'll make me younger. Like, no,
that's not how sex works. She doesn't
want that.
This isn't, she's not, her vagina's not Tuck Everlasting. Like, no.
Alrighty, guys. Well, I hope you had fun. Check us out.
Baroque.b.podcast.
And you can also check out our website, baroquebpodcast.com. It will have stickers. So we got stickers.
Stickers.
And we'll have a link to our Patreon as well if you want to be involved in our Patreon.
Be a patron.
We have little extra stuff. We got extra stuff for you.
Yeah, videos. And
little videos, little extra things, you can check that out.
Yeah, we've been working on some projects with some other podcasts. We're excited that'll release soon.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
And what else? The stars that you leave, we love them. The comments, thank you. Please,
we're obsessed.
Leave us a star review, please. We love it.
Yeah.
DM us. If it helps us keep going.
You love it. Or if you're pissed off, DM us.
If we need to make a correction. If you want to be on the podcast, please. Just let us know.
We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Maybe you're brave, boy, you're my weakness. Give and we take, the love that we make. It's my favorite drug to call.